In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
I want to thank you for joining Jack and I. My name's Ken Keltner, pastor at Brookside Baptist Church. So thankful for the folks at Brookside and their willingness to support the radio ministry of Brookside, but also VCY, and we're grateful that we're able to be on the air with you this morning. And we're in Joshua chapter 4 today. It's a wonderful passage of we need to remember not to forget, because we're so prone to forget. And we've talked about, Jack and I, a little comical time of how we forget certain things, and mainly our keys, or trying to find a pencil or a pen or whatever it might be.
Your shoes.
Yeah, shoes. Yeah, that'll be tough to
lose your shoes. How come you have bare feet today?
Couldn't find my shoes. If you have grandchildren, that's usually the battle. I had to go out and buy two pairs of shoes because we lost one pair of shoes for our granddaughter staying with us. And eventually we found them somewhere tucked in between the couch. So,
yeah. A bad response would also be, well, at least I have one on.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, as we look at this chapter, it's really a chapter that would be a reminder that you could entitle it Stones of Remembrance, really. God is commanding this memorial to be established as they're crossing over the Jordan River. And a great section back in Deuteronomy, that was written for those that will be heading into the Promised Land. In chapter 27, God wanted those stones to be a reminder of His Word. So, Jack, if you're in Deuteronomy 27, could you read those first three verses for us?
Now Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, "Keep all the commandments which I command you today. And it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God has given you, that you shall set up for yourselves large stones and whitewash them with lime. You shall write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over, that you may enter the land which the Lord your God has given you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your fathers promised you."
I mean, this had to be a pretty good sized memorial. You wonder, man, could one guy pick up, you know, a boulder, you know, there on the creek bed of the Jordan that would be that big? They're going to whitewash it. They're going to write the law. I mean, God knew the importance of us, of Israel, sticking and claiming, understanding, and applying His Word. I mean, remember in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." Now, he was speaking those words to Joshua, but he wants the children of Israel, you need to know my word, my law. And friends, we have to have a love for God's word. I love the words of Amos R. Wells when he said this, "I supposed I knew my Bible, reading piecemeal, hit or miss, now a bit of John or Matthew, next a snatch of Genesis, certain chapters of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd, 12th of Romans, 1st of Proverbs, and yes, I thought I knew the word, but I found a thorough reading was a different thing to do, and the way was unfamiliar when I read the Bible through. You who treat the crown of writings as you treat no other book, just a paragraph disjointed, just a crude, impatient look, try a worthier procedure, try a broad and steady view. You will kneel in very rapture when you read the Bible through." I don't know how many times you've read the Bible through. I mean, some folks, man, they have it down. Jack, I don't know. I know I've read it through many, many times. But I was back at my father's church, and I think there was a man in the congregation. He kept track of it. I mean, he'd read it through 96 times, something along that line.
Wow.
I remember reading just the book of Matthew in one sitting, and that was like 5 or 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 28 chapters there. God's word is of absolute importance, and these stones were going to be a reminder of what God said in His word. I mean, they were to stand as a reminder that God did a miraculous work here in the crossing of the Jordan. I mean, these stones were to be on dry ground, obviously from the riverbed. And God's command is totally fulfilled here. These stones, moved by 12 men, one from each tribe. These stones would be the sign for their children. We looked at that in our reading there. I mean, just imagine with me, let's say some 20 years post-Jordan time, an Israeli father and his six-year-old son are strolling through Gilgal National Park. And the young boy spots an imposing pile of stones, and with words written on them, he says, "Daddy, what are those stones for?" And now the son's curiosity really becomes the occasion for communicating to him the news, "Let me tell you about God. He is awesome. He is powerful." I mean, Jack, we have these attributes of God, of who he is. And an attribute is what God has attributed to himself that he wants us to know about him. And he's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's ever-present. He's almighty. What a great reminder. I wonder what we can go back with our family and say, hey, let's just talk about remembering what God has done in our own family. I mean, to be honest with you, Jack, we need to do that as a church. Hmm. What has God done that we can look back and see his powerful hand and what he's doing for us? Someone once said that Christianity is never more than one generation away from extinction. The enemy of our faith is going to be forgetfulness. Whether we forget to read God's word or we forget what God's actually done and what he's provided for us. Those 12 rough rocks represented to men of all time two strategic principles in the history of Israel. First and foremost, they stood as a visible symbol to the utter faithfulness of God. And we talked about that wonderful song, "Great is thy faithfulness, Lord God Almighty." Secondly, those 12 stones were a stirring reminder of the first step of the unflinching, fearless faith that was, exercised in God by Joshua and all of Israel. Really, they were like a silent memorial to this special day on which God boldly placed the soles of their feet in the surging, rushing current of the Jordan. And they were fully confident God would grant them safe crossing. And you know what? He did.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 21, he mentioned again, when your son asks, why these stones? There is a purpose for memorials. Again, when you think of all the memorials we have throughout the United States, go to Washington, you see the memorials. You go down to the Ark Encounter, you go down to the Creation Museum. Again, hey, we want to remind you, this is what God did. God warned about forgetfulness. Jack, if you'd read verses 12 to 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, that is so important because, unfortunately, we as humans have incredible short memories when it comes to really recalling the blessings of God. God was warning the nation here in Deuteronomy 6 not to forget, but unfortunately, just like many of us, they did.
"Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah."
You know, by the time we reach the end of the book of Joshua, we're going to see that there's a problem. And by the time we get to the book of Judges, we're told that the people served Balaam and the groves. That's Judges 3. And when the danger of crisis is past, we are often guilty of forgetting God. Now, James chapter 1, verse 25 told us we're not to be a forgetful hearer, but to be a doer of the word. Many times when a person loses their health or their finances, you might never have seen them in church for the longest time, and then boom, they just found out they might have cancer. Or boom, they just found out that now they're without a job and they've been living from check to check. Now, what are they going to do? You will see them back in church. They turn to God. And then when God provides a great miracle, maybe remission of the cancer, then you just don't really see them in church much. I knew someone like that back in Oklahoma. And I remember as a young boy, I went to my dad and I go, "Why don't we see Mrs. Davis anymore at church, Dad?" Well, son, because she's been healed. You know, God's taken care of her, and now she doesn't need to come back to church. When he was talking there to the folks in Deuteronomy, God, he said, God is a jealous God among you. Don't go after other gods. You know what's interesting? This passage of scripture in Psalm 115 really deals with the futility of idols and the trustworthiness of God. And let me read a section here in Psalm 115. He says, but our God is in heaven, and he does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them, and so is everyone who trusts in them. You know, when folks today make idols on this earth, it shows that they're really living only for this life. When I recognize God is my heavenly Father, and he has wondrously saved me, then Jack, I'm to be living for another world, a world to come. I can't be totally enraptured with just this life. I have a responsibility here. I might have the job. There are things I have to eat. I mean, things I have to do. But yet, when my attention is so focused here and not on the life to come, it is so easy for me to start forgetting all that God has done for me. And so God's word really is going to call attention to facts, to events, to specific situations. These memorial stones that we're finding in Joshua 4 were pointing people. They were reminding people of an action or event which had been produced by Almighty God. I mean, these events are not the result of man's actions, but God's actions. Now, these stones outside of Gilgal are not to call attention to anything, to the children of Israel, or what they did. These stones are to call attention to what God did for the nation of Israel. Can I tell you, friends, as we close this morning, our Christian faith is based entirely upon history. This is where faith differs from everything else that is being offered to men and women in the midst of our modern troubles. Let me put it like this. Christianity is not a philosophy, because a philosophy is made up of ideas put forward by men in an attempt to try to understand life and our problems and how to deal with them, how to solve them. It's a matter of ideas, of thoughts, and of teachings. Christianity is quite unique because its teaching is based upon history. The Bible is a record book of what God has done, and our society wants to view life without God. Our culture loves putting the emphasis upon man and what man has achieved. The Bible simply starts by saying, "In the beginning, God." And so the real message of the Bible, dear friend, is all about his redemptive plan. And God records creation and the fall, and it tells us why God sent Jesus Christ to be the Redeemer of the world. And I trust you know him personally as your Savior. I hope that you'll join us for our next broadcast of The Word for Life as we continue to go through this wonderful book of the Old Testament, Joshua.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on The Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.